A remarkable feature of the first kind of Friedman model is that in it, the universe is not infinite in space, but neither does space have any boundary. Gravity is so strong that space is bent round onto itself. This is rather like the surface of the Earth, which is finite but has no boundary. If you keep traveling in a certain direction on the surface of the Earth, you never come up against an impassable barrier or fall over the edge, and you eventually come back to where you started. In this model, space is just like this, but with three dimensions instead of two for the Earth's surface. The idea that you could go right round the universe and end up where you started makes good science fiction, but it doesn't have much practical significance, because it can be shown that the universe would collapse to zero size before you could get around. It is so large, you would need to travel faster than light in order to end up where you started before the universe came to an end, and that is not allowed. Space is also curved in the second Friedman model, though in a different way. Only the third Friedman model corresponds to a universe whose large-scale geometry is flat, though space is still curved or warped in the vicinity of massive objects. Which Friedman model describes our universe? Will the universe eventually stop expanding and start contracting, or will it expand forever? It turns out the answer to this question is more complicated than scientists first thought. The most basic analysis depends on two things: the present rate of expansion of the universe and its present average density, the amount of matter in a given volume of space. The faster the current rate of expansion, the greater the gravitational force required to stop it, and thus the greater the density of matter needed. If the average density is greater than a certain critical value determined by the rate of expansion, the gravitational attraction of the matter in the universe will succeed in halting its expansion and cause it to collapse, corresponding to the first Friedman model. If the average density is less than the critical value, there is not enough gravitational pull to stop the expansion, and the universe will expand forever, corresponding to Friedman's second model. And if the average density of the universe is exactly the critical number, then the universe will forever slow its expansion, ever more gradually approaching, but not ever reaching, a static size. This corresponds to the third Friedman model. So which is it? We can determine the present rate of expansion by measuring the velocities at which other galaxies are moving away from us, using the Doppler effect. This can be done very accurately. However, the distances to the galaxies are not very well known because we can measure them only indirectly. So all we know is that the universe is expanding by between 5% and 10% every billion years. Our uncertainty about the present average density of the universe is even greater. Still, if we add up the masses of all the stars that we can see in our galaxy and other galaxies, the total is less than 1/100th of the amount required to halt the expansion of the universe, even for the lowest estimate of the rate of expansion. But that is not the whole story. Our galaxy and other galaxies must also contain a large amount of dark matter that we cannot see directly, but which we know must be there because of the influence of its gravitational attraction on the orbits of stars in the galaxies. Perhaps the best evidence of this comes from the stars on the outskirts of spiral galaxies, such as our Milky Way. These stars orbit their galaxies much too fast to be held in orbit merely by the gravitational attraction of the observed galactic stars. In addition, most galaxies are found in clusters, and we can similarly infer the presence of yet more dark matter in between the galaxies in these clusters by its effect on the motion of the galaxies. In fact, the amount of dark matter greatly exceeds the amount of ordinary matter in the universe.